Blog Talk Radio.
Former Blackhawk, local guy, and the current color analyst for the Blackhawks on television, it is Eddie Olczyk.
The guy's an asshole. Dead air moments. Paid out the rectum.
Well, first of all, we're very, very happy with Dennis Savard as our head coach. He's growing.
What the fuck does that mean?
He's fat!
I don't know how long you guys got, but I'll sit here till 4 in the morning and explain to you why James Wisniewski sucks.
You're never surprised by anything.
I'll probably have to refrain from alcoholic beverages.
Yeah, right.
Then you look like a doofus, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, sometimes when I'm on the CTA, I look like a doofus.
We're men, okay? That means a few things. We like to shit with the door open. We talk about pussy. We go on riverboat gambling trips. We make our own beef jerky. That's what we do.
Absolutely.
All right, so I had a pretty good weekend over the weekend, ironically. How was yours, Wadi?
It was pretty good. Got to get out of the house, check out a Hawks game, get away from the kid with the wife. It was kind of shocking for a little bit, but we made it through. Kid made it through. Grandma and Grandpa were happy to watch him, and everybody else was doing fine.
I actually do have to talk about something, because evidently I on Friday night, I went, after I finally got out of work, I went out a little bit, went out and saw some people, and I ended up at a bar where they were doing karaoke. And evidently, I Twittered the fact that I was doing karaoke. I don't recall doing that, but I did it. After I looked at it, I go, oh, yeah, I remember doing this. But here, you know, because I remember everything that happened that night. Because what I did was I got a little too dancey. A couple that I run into every once in a while, they're very nice people. They say they're going to listen tonight, so hopefully I don't offend anybody.
Too late for that.
Yeah, so I, you know, it was Friday night, so, like, you know, there's karaoke going on, there's music, there's lots of people drinking and being merry, and they're dancing. So I partook, or however you say it, in the dancing. So I went out, and I didn't know what to dance with, so I took this guy's wife, and I said, let's go dance, because, you know, that's kind of how I am, you know. So I, you know, because she didn't really want to dance with him anyway. You know, he's kind of like this big, dopey-looking guy, you know. So, like, you know, like, I just, like, said, come on here and dance with me. And he was a slow foot. And I'm out there, you know, breaking it up. So we go out there and dance and everything. And then she comes up with the bright ideas, let's go do karaoke. So I go up on the stage and I'm doing karaoke with her for maybe, like, 5 seconds before she leaves. And then I'm up there all by myself. And then I ended up being up there for maybe like the next hour and 15 minutes. I just never left the stage. I did Huey Lewis in the News. I did Heart of Rock and Roll. I remember doing Bob Seger. I did my Pearl Jam impression. And then my new best friend came up on the stage with me, this enormous black man, and we did, together, he and I, we did Shaft, the theme to Shaft. It was pretty damn cool. What else did we do?
You're picking up your friend's married wives and black men, huh?
Yes. I was very popular on Friday night. And then I forget what his name was, but he goes... He invited me to his house to watch football on Sunday, but unfortunately I couldn't do that. He and I did a duet of Brown Sugar together, and
to the black man.
Yeah, me and the 350-pound black man up on stage performing Brown Sugar together, and we also did Barry White. But so everything was great. And then I do have to tell. I want to tell you a funny story about Saturday night before we get into the actual Blackhawk discussion. And everybody, welcome. It is the Third Man in Radio. I am Chris Flock alongside the co-host tonight, the WAD. I do it. Well, we know how you're doing. Never mind. It is Tuesday night, October 20th, 2009, 8:05 in Chicago here on blogtalkradio.com/thethirdmanin, the home and the only place that you can get any sort of thirdmanin.com content. But anyway, so Saturday night we're at the Hawks game, right?
Yeah.
And I do have to say this. If you were at the Hawks game, and anybody that might be listening, if you were at the Hawks game on Saturday night and your child, or perhaps you, maybe you're a 30-year-old person who collects Superman dolls, if your child lost his Superman doll, I have his Superman doll. I found a Superman doll.
But you don't. They don't want it back now.
All I did was bring it home, and I just left it there, and I went about my Saturday night routine. But
how many people's lives are destroyed because of that?
Well, I'm going to tell you the story, but it gets better. So, So I'm not going to tell you what parking lot I found in it because just any dope will call up and say or email me and say, "Yeah, it's my Superman doll." No. If you know where you lost it, tell me where you lost it, and I will arrange to meet you and give it back because I feel bad if it's some kid's Superman doll. But anyway, okay. So Saturday night, right? I get home and then I go out and about. Nothing really going on. It turns out it was the sweetheart day on Saturday. You know about that? You didn't forget about that, did you?
Oh no, I got reminded of it a few days before the game when I was supposedly sending it with you initially, or spending it with you initially, and then my wife was able to weasel her way into the game.
Well, I went out and I'm out and about a little bit. I'm mingling with the people, and ended up coming back towards my place, and I was in a cab, and cab driver's driving along, and as we're driving, I notice that there's a young lass walking up the street. I don't even know why I'm telling this story. I really don't, but I'm going to tell it anyway. If people listen to this show regularly, I don't know how much more I could bury myself, so we're just going to go ahead.
Might as well dig the grave completely.
Yeah. So, so there's this young lass walking up the street, you know. It's the sweetheart day. Everybody gets a little, a little extra excited on the sweetheart day, and it gets to everybody. So maybe you're a little bit lonely. Maybe you're a little bit extra juiced, you know, on that night. And, so it kind of gets you. So I see this young lass walking down the street, and she's all dressed up. She's all dolled up. She's looking nice. And I look over at her, and I'm like, I notice that she's got some really, really nice lips, right? So I tell the cab driver, I go, "Hold on, hold everything." Stop it right there. And I told him, I go, "Pull it around, go up to the next street, pull it around, then come back, because I want to get another look." So he did it. He came around back, and I want to make sure that I saw what I saw. So he did it, came around again, and I saw what I saw. So I thought, okay, you're going to drop me off around the corner. Because she's walking up, and she's approaching another bar that was actually the bar I was going to go to anyway. So he pulls over. And I hustle down the alley and through like a way, and I go up to the top of the street where I'm just about. I mean, she's just about to reach. Again, why am I telling this story? But so as she's approaching, I'm standing there. I'm on my acting like I'm on my BlackBerry, like I'm actually doing something. And the whole time I staged this whole thing. So she walks up. And I look up, and, I give her a smile, She looks at me, and I'm like, "Hey, how are you doing tonight, And
is that what she reached for, the pepper spray?
No, she probably didn't have pepper spray on her. But So, you know, we struck up a conversation, and I'm like, hey, you know, you want to grab a drink? So we go inside, and we grab a drink. And long story short, she eventually asks me, she's like, because women are pretty smart. Not all women, but some, I mean, most women are smart. And she asked me, she said, like, why were you standing there, and, like, how, you know, did you, basically asked me if I set it up. And because I'm just too honest of a person, I basically just told her, like, flat out, like, yeah, I broke it all down for her. I mean, like, step by step, I told her the whole production that I had done. And she didn't slap me, she didn't pepper spray me, and she didn't walk out on me. I think she actually thought it was somewhat endearing that I went through this trouble to meet the girl with the really nice lips, right? So we talked a little bit more, and then she's like, oh, you know, I think I'm just going to go home now. And I'm like, okay, you know, and she lives, like, just down the street. And I'm like, well, I'll walk you home, you know, like a gentleman. So I walked her home, and we get to her place, and, you know, I talked for a couple minutes, and I said goodbye to her, and like, she motioned, and I gave her a little hug. And then as she's starting to walk away, she turns to me, and she says, she says, well, do you want my number? And I swear to God, I did that thing where you look off, like, in another direction, looking for the answer that you don't immediately have. You know, you do that thing. And I thought to myself, and it dawned on me that in the hour, however long that I was with this girl, it never dawned on me to ask for her phone number. So I thought to myself, like, Block, why would you ask for it now? So I turned to her and I just go, no, not really. And you should have seen the look on her face. I didn't even realize what I had said. And, you know, until I walked away, and I thought to myself, I'm like, that was actually kind of rude. But, I mean, here's the thing. She lived way too close to me. I mean, like, if we're talking about, like, you know, less than a mile. I mean, I mean probably like six blocks, and that's just way too close. You know,
yeah.
I think a good distance for me is about 700 miles.
Minimum.
Yes. I mean, that's why I got to the point where I was at, I was nearing proposal to a woman that lived in England, because that was a comfortable distance for me. I just don't want people being able to show up unannounced at my house. And, but yeah, that was a weird thing that happened on Saturday. She wasn't the only girl that asked for my phone number or asked to give me her phone number on Saturday night, but we'll leave it at that.
Is that the only one?
I didn't get any extra phone numbers because I don't like, that's too much pressure. I don't like having phone numbers. Please don't ask for my phone number or, for me to give or take yours. It's just, I don't like having phone numbers. But anyway. All right. Chicago Blackhawks talk. Should we do it?
Oh, God, where do we start?
Well, the Blackhawks are the second best team in the Western Conference. There's got to be something good going on.
Yeah, there's something good going on. It's a lot of goal scoring. That's good for them. The bad part is where's the goaltending? A couple of weak-ass goals in the last week or so have put up even more question marks than they already had before.
Well, I mean, you want to get into it. I mean, Saturday night, Dallas Stars are in town. Chris Paul UA had a rough night. I mean, there's no question about it. I think that, you know, if you're going to take a 33 or 34-year-old goaltender and, you know, at this stage in the game, you're going to try to change his style, and that's what the Blackhawks apparently are doing, and they want you to know about it because now that you know, you're a year into the Cristobal UA experience. Now that the rest of the league knows all about him, even an untrained eye can see that if you watch enough games and you pay enough attention, that Cristobal UA, I mean, somebody lines up to shoot, Cristobal UA drops to his knees. So basically, what the Blackhawks are trying to tell you is, we need to fix this. We're trying to fix this. Please bear with us. You know, instead of going out in the off season and doing something to protect themselves, which they didn't, you know, or just not signing Chris Beauheret to begin with. Now that it's like Pat Foley on Thursday night when they were playing the Nashville Predators. Pat Foley must have been under direction to explain to them, because nothing prevented him from getting out the fact that Stephon Waite is working with Cristobal Huey on not going down to his knees immediately.
Oh, that was definitely orchestrated.
Yes, he's not going to pull the Torrey Wells. He's trying to stay on his skates, you know, as long as possible. And there's going to be growing pains, and fans are entitled to do whatever they want. They buy a ticket, they can boo and all that kind of stuff. But you know what? You're not helping the situation by booing the guy before he even gets on the ice. It's obvious that Cristobal Huey, it's under his skin now. It's in his head. The fact that the fans are all over his case before he even steps on the ice, you're not doing yourselves any favors. You know, you could say, and there was some dope that was sitting below us on Saturday night that said, the third goal that QA gave up, was it the third goal? It had to be the third goal. And then he just made a paddle stop on a puck that was dribbling in, and the crowd, you know, probably 35% of the crowd went nuts, but they made enough noise to make it sound like the whole building was, you know, in support of him making this ridiculous save.
That might have been one that piped in noise.
Yeah, well, dope below us says, you know, after I say, I mean, this is ridiculous. I mean, they didn't do that to Antti Niemi when he left, you know, when he let in a 60-foot dump, a dumper on last Monday night, and the guy from us turns around and says, well, he's not making $8 million a year.
Yeah.
Well, first of all, UA is not making $8 million a year. He's making 5.6 and change. And what difference does that make anyway? Either you're a good goalie or you're a bad goalie. Either you're a goalie that goes out there and makes the saves that he's supposed to make or not. I mean, what difference does it make, you know, if Cristobal Huey doesn't make it doesn't make anything. You should be rooting for your goaltender to make the save. And if he doesn't, you can boo him. But to discriminate based on pay is just stupid. You'd rather see, I mean, this is with Chicago fans and things that just annoy me. You'd rather see the lesser guy who makes, you know, a minimal salary fail than try to succeed with the better goalie. I mean, because that's the mentality. It's like, well, I don't want to pay to see a high-priced guy fail. I'd rather see the young guy, you know, go nowhere, you know,
yeah.
Have us go nowhere, you know. Antti Niemi, I said it, you know, I'll keep saying it. He's no good. He sucks. And the more you get to see of him, the more you're going to realize it. The Blackhawks, where they're going to go is absolutely 100%. It's Cristobal Huey. It's his team. He's got to be the guy. Corey Crawford isn't going to do it. Antti Niemi's not going to do it. And unless they have a plan to go out and get someone else and bring him in and have that guy be the savior, and who is that guy? I mean, there's nobody out there. You know, is it Manny Legacy? You know, I don't think so.
Maybe they can pull a FIFA one, get Manny Legacy.
Oh, yes. Yeah. So, we'll get to him in a minute. But, this goes back to the decision that I'm still perturbed about. And Joel Quenneville basically pointing out to everyone last Wednesday night, and this fed into the reaction of the crowd on Saturday night to Cristobal Huey, feeding in, and leading everyone, you know, up to this, is that not playing Cristobal Huey on Wednesday night, last Wednesday night, against the Edmonton Oilers and against the returning Nikolai Habibulin was a tragic mistake. Yeah, I don't care that Blackhawks won the game, and I don't care that Huey went to Nashville the next night and beat a team that can't score. You know, that right there, everybody that knows anything knows exactly what Joel Quenneville was doing. He was avoiding playing. He was scared to play Huey against Habibulin. Absolutely terrified of it. And when the coach is scared to play his number one goalie against another, you know, the returning, you know, goalie from last season, then everybody on the team, everybody in the stands, and everybody in the organization, you know, you know, I mean, it's like a big lump in your throat. It's like, okay, well, if the coach is scared to play this guy, should I be confident in this guy? And that was a terrible decision on Quenneville's part. I don't care that they got the 2 points. It had a lasting effect that, you know, I believe, you know, contributed to the fans' reaction to him on Saturday night. You know, and then you take your number one goalie because you're trying to, you know, build his confidence, and you say, okay, well, we're going to put you in net on the road on a Thursday night in Nashville against a team whose top six players, or should be their top six players, haven't scored a goal all season. You know, going into that game, I think that their top six players had a combined 2 goals in 4 games. So it's like, I mean, you're just telling everybody what, you know, how you feel about your number one, and if that's not good, then, I mean, that now that goes on to Stan Bowman. And what has Stan Bowman got to do? If his head coach can't count on the number one goalie, and here it is, you know, in the second and third week of October, you know, how good of a job did the organization do in the offseason of setting this team up to win? Obviously not very good. When the guy that you let walk comes back into town and you're too scared to play the guy that's still here, it was a joke. And, it's just a terrible coaching decision, because if you saw the way the Blackhawks played that night, you mean to tell me that they aren't going to play that way in front of Huey, that they weren't going to come out and try to win that game for Cristobal Huey, the guy that's in their room now, a likable guy. Nobody dislikes Cristobal Huey. You know, and it's against Hobby Boulin, who could have stayed for 1 year. I mean, the Hawks were trying to keep him for 1 year, but he left. He did the right thing for himself. He went and got the 3-year deal from Edmonton. Not a outlandish deal by any stretch, but he went, he got the big money. He comes back. The team wants to beat him, because nobody on that team wants to be upstaged by Hobby Boulin coming back. They like him too. It's not a grudge thing. It's just, you know, it's just a matter of pride, and they were gonna play that way, you know, as far as keeping the shots they've been doing all year, to be fair. But I mean, they were gonna keep the shots down. It was gonna be low percentage shots in front of whoever was in the net, and that just makes that decision even more asinine to me. Why Joe Quenneville couldn't, and if Huey's in net that night, it's the same result. Huey beats Hobby Boulin, and it's like, you know, to the fans that, you know, maybe just don't pay enough attention, or, you know, are just going to look at a box score or see the score on the news. They're like, oh, Huey beat Hobby Boulin, and it's working in your favor already. And then you play Huey the next night in Nashville, back-to-back nights, get it started early with him, with you know, building up his stamina and getting him ready to endure a full season. And then play him against the lowly Nashville Predators that probably aren't going to score, you know, much, you know, present much of an issue for you anyway. You go in there, you have back-to-back good performance from Huey, and then play Niemi against Dallas's backup on Saturday night. You didn't even see Marty Turco on Saturday, and you still lost. I think it was just horrible coaching. And, I don't know, I just didn't like it, obviously.
Well, I think the back-to-back thing would have been perfect for Huey, because he could have beat Edmonton, and then he could have went out and beat Nashville the next night. And that's one of the biggest knocks against him, is he can't play 2 nights in a row. And, you know, you can come out right away, first week of the season, and try and prove that wrong. It was just, like you said, it was a horrible coaching decision. They just totally missed the boat.
Yeah, I mean, like you said, kill 2 birds with 1 stone right away, early in the season. You build up his confidence, and the fans' confidence in him. And, you know, yeah, I mean, it's 2 games in a row. If you want to play him on Saturday, play him again on Saturday. Because I mean, it would mean playing Wednesday, Thursday, and then coming back tomorrow night when Vancouver comes to town. Vancouver so far is 0-4 on the road. I should talk a little bit about that. I saw the end of the Vancouver third period, the Edmonton Vancouver game last night. Was really, really good. Ladislav Smead with a left knee kick save midway through the third period to keep this course. I can't talk tonight. Score tied 1-1. And then Sam Gagne, in front of his dad, who's now a scout on the Vancouver Canucks, who was in attendance, scores a garbage pail goal to put the Oilers up 2-1. And then Hobby Boulin makes a goal line stand at the end, and puck goes down the other way. Kyle Wellwood picks up the puck, takes it the length of the ice, dipsy doodles, dandles, and dangles to, and puts it past Hobby Boulin, but just a second past the buzzer, and Edmonton wins 2-1. Vancouver in town tomorrow night, Wednesday night, 7:30 at the United Center. 0-4 on the road. But I don't like this. I don't like this this team coming in right now. Vancouver, 13th in the conference right now, 3-1 at home, 0-4 on the road. I mean, they've scored two goals less, or you know, than they've allowed, which is unlike the Vancouver Canucks. But most of that's come on the road. But I mean, it was a team dejected and angry after that loss last night in Edmonton. They immediately flew to Chicago, and I don't like the way this one stacks up for the Blackhawks, with two goaltenders that aren't very good right now. A Vancouver team that's pretty hot under the collar, probably coming into and then it's the first matchup coming off the ouster in the second round last year's playoffs. Vancouver,
which is how the NHL Network is selling it.
Oh, are they? I watched, but yeah, I mean it's a big time game. I would be shocked if it's not Luongo against Huey tomorrow, but who knows? Henrik Sedin though did get he might. I haven't heard the report on it. I know that he finished last night's game, but he took a wicked slash. I forget from who, but right on the wrist, and he finished the game. But who knows on him? Of course, Daniel Sedin is out. And but the Canucks, their defense is still pretty good. Ryan Kessler's off to a fantastic start. He looks amazing. Probably had a lot to do with trying to make that U.S. Olympic team, the evaluation camp and everything. He looks in fantastic shape. He's flying around out there. At times he's a dominating player, which for Ryan Kessler's a very good player, but he shouldn't be out. I mean, typically you wouldn't think of him out there dominating hockey games. But he's been doing it so far early this season. He's playing very, very well. He's a guy to look out for tomorrow night. Kyle Wellwood, he's moving pretty well with the puck. And I don't think that the end of the game last night was really indicative of anything, though. He's not going to be taking things anything end-to-end on the Blackhawks tomorrow. Edmonton was kind of standing around watching him with the time ticking off, but... I don't know. I would be nervous. If I'm a Blackhawks fan, I'd be nervous about that game tomorrow night.
Well, the thing you point out about Kessler is he's getting Matthias Olin minutes from last year because he's now with Tampa Bay. So he's still in that role. He's getting time, and he's making the most of it. So, yeah, I would definitely watch out for him. He's off to a hot start. And for those of you like me who drafted Roberto Luongo in your fantasy pool, try to put the gun down.
I got him in one, too.
Oh, God. I want to get rid of him, but I can't.
Well, I didn't see the whole game last night, but I saw, like I said, I fast-forwarded to the third period. And, he looked fine last night and from what I saw. But, Vancouver, Kevin Bieksa, he's off to a slow start, but he's going to be fine. He's one of my favorite defensemen to watch in the league. He's built out of that Chris Chelios mold circa late 80s. Alex Edler is off to a great start, taking up a lot of those minutes for Matthias Olin. Sammy Salo is, of course, hurt, so he won't be there tomorrow night. It's like Frederick Modine. I mean, they should be on the same team, just so you can keep track of those guys. But
maybe they're long-lost brothers.
Yeah. But it should be a good one. Alex Burrows in the house. Rick Rippon, who's a good fourth liner on the Canucks, and it should be a good time. We're only going to 9:00 tonight because I have a committed Indian column to write. So I got to get on top of that. So, I got a lot to do tonight.
Not only are you rejecting girls' phone numbers, but you have a lot of other shit to do.
Yeah. And in a minute, I want to take your informal poll about something.
Mine?
Yes.
Oh, boy, this is not going to be good.
Yes, and speaking of informal polls, tonight's show is brought to you by our fine sponsors, one of which is Pretty Girls Massage Spa. 4906 West Irving Park Road in Chicago. The phone number to there to call, and I mean, they take walk-ins, but if you want to make an appointment, let it be known that you're coming in with your bad self. 773-545-9588, 773-545-9588, 4906 West Irving Park Road, just one block west of Irving, Milwaukee, and Cicero. Pretty Girls Massage Spa, and tell them the superstar sent you. And you don't know what you want when you walk in, you look at the menu, just ask for the superstar. I don't know what that entails, but I've been told it's pretty good. And then also Chicago's Pizza and Pasta with five locations in Chicago, including, I don't have the addresses in front of me. But just go to chicagos-pizza.com for the one nearest you. Of course, we always talk about the gourmet sandwiches, the original stuff, pizza. The paninis are terrific. You got to get a panini. They're just fantastic. My favorite, the Caesar wrap. It is all, you can go in there. They're also, I think all five locations are BYOB if you like to dine in. But for the nearest one near you, it is chicagos-pizza.com. And if you go in there and say that I sent you, maybe I'll get another free Caesar wrap on Saturday. Okay. What was I going to
say? Real quick, Pittsburgh just got done rolling St. Louis.
Oh, that's great.
5-1, yeah.
Did Andy McDonald get the one goal? Because I picked him up in my...
No, that was Paul Kariya, my guy. Thank you.
Well, did he at least get the assist?
No. I don't think so. I got to look at the stats, but that game just ended. They're going right to the Calgary game, and Calgary and Blue Jackets.
Well, that's a bunch of crap. All right. Okay. Well, we're gonna go into emails because that email bag show that I keep promising is it hasn't happened yet. It'll happen. But why don't we just go ahead into some things here? First of all, it's not really an email. I went on the website last week just to dick around and see what was going on there, if anything, and not too much was, but there was a comment from a person that refers to themselves as Dum Dum, and, I'll just read it. Since no one is around, I'll say it, .. He spelled since, S-N-C-E. I'm really disappointed, also misspelled, with this once do not miss website. I stopped here first before all other websites to read about the Hawks, but also actual news, and he capitalized news. Very, very big on news. Now to get relegated to a podcast that is really hard to listen to. It's really hard to listen to. And this is the even better part.
Oh, boy.
And barely tolerable. What'd you say?
I said, is this the same guy that spoke so highly of you before? He's just using a different name?
It could be. It could be. Dum Dum. Now to get relegated to a podcast that is really hard to listen to and barely tolerable to get through the first 5 minutes of Yuck Yucks. I don't know what he's talking about there. Is he talking about me and whoever's on with me?
I think he's talking about you and the inventions of you and yourself.
Oh. Okay. Is, in my opinion, a waste of great talent. Well, thank you very much. From what I've read, you seem to be in touch with sources or at least have a good running knowledge of the sport, the team, and the fans. Before you commented it was because there was no news, but not true now. I don't know that I ever said that. Well, I mean, I probably said that. I say a lot of things. I'll respond to this in a minute. All I can hope, is that something else is tugging your time away from this website, which I can totally understand. I definitely know this doesn't take a minuscule amount of time nor energy, but I just hope the times of Rockford reviews, call-ups, etc. will return again. Just thought you might want to know, maybe not, in case I apologize. No need to apologize. Dum-Dum, that makes two of us, actually. I am disappointed, and I believe it's a waste of great talent as well. no, I mean, nothing's changed. And for the people that come around, you know, have come along late to the game here or new to the site, never seen the site before, or maybe you were gone for a while, came back, or just checking out the radio show now. Basically what the story is, in mid-July, my schedule became obscenely cluttered, and I just really don't have time to do the website right now. It's also a case of I refuse to contribute to the fucking disaster that is blogun.com and the ridiculousness that I've put up with since I came here. And since there's no end in sight to that and really no resolution, then I'm not going to waste any of my time posting here. It's a fucking disaster. It's a joke of a network. And I don't want to be a part of it anymore. Now, I don't have time to get away from it. I'd asked before, and I know that there's people I did talk to one person, but so it's not fair to me to paint with a broad brush. But I know that there's people that listen to this either weekly or occasionally that do this kind of stuff. I mean, if you're someone out there that does websites or this kind of thing for a living or in your spare time, I'd be willing to hear from you as far as, costs and what would go into it, you know, from your end and also from my end, you know, time and energy and you know, time frame on how to get away from here and set up somewhere else new and get everything that I do have from both this version of the website and the previous one and get it over to, a potential new place that maybe you would help me out with. I'd be interested in hearing from you. Otherwise, the options are, are pretty obvious. I can shut down and go away, which I don't plan on doing, as long as I can hold out for anyway. I could merge with somebody else, or I could just become a freelancer. The radio show is something that I think is really interesting, and I think it's fun. I enjoy doing it, since it's the one thing that I can actually set aside time for every week. And it possibly here coming up soon twice a week. Since it's keeping me sort of in the game, so to speak, I think it's important. And, you know, if you don't like it, then fuck you. I don't care. But, honestly, I mean, it's not going to be for everybody. And I'm not going to make apologies for something that you don't like. If you don't like, don't listen. Don't bother me. You know? I mean, it's...
Change the channel.
It's just like the people that write in saying I don't talk enough, talk enough about Blackhawks. It's like, a bunch of fucks, I mean, if you don't want to listen, don't listen. Don't bother me, if you got, you like the show, you have, you have suggestions and fine, but don't, write me and insult me saying, oh, this is stupid or you're an idiot or, it's pointless because it's just going to motivate me to antagonize you more. That's all it's going to do. I'm an antagonistic fuck and I will do it if you prod me. So
yes, you are.
Yeah. So, have no problem with it. What we do here, and I'll be totally frank with you if you're listening right now. What the idea here is to come on the air, whatever you want to call it, do a little bit of intro, a little off the wall, crazy stuff, just to get it flowing into it, and then get right into the Blackhawks stuff and the NHL, and then go on from there and do an hour and a half, however long it is. I think it's boring. I listen to these other podcasts; they're fucking horrible. To be totally honest with you, I don't care who knows it. I'm not talking about the Hockey Night guys. I like those guys and what they do. What they do is somewhat similar in that they don't follow a format. They just do what they do, and that's cool. But there's other things on Blog Talk that I've tried to listen to and I just can't because they come on the air and they're like, oh, let's talk about the New York Rangers. It's like, well, this is boring. Or let's talk about the Nashville Predators. You're 5 seconds into the show, and it's like, let's talk about Pecorine. Well, no, let's not,
Let's make fun of Pecky's number, her name, actually.
Yeah, I don't think it's interesting, and but if that's what you want, start your own podcast, and leave me alone. I'm a little bit sleep deprived. And I'm ready to fight.
And cranky, apparently. Man.
No.
Maybe you should go get that girl's phone number.
Like I said, that's not the only girlfriend that the only girl that I turned down digits from this weekend.
You were one walking rejection machine this weekend, weren't you?
I am. I don't even know why. Okay. But that, I'm not trying to offend anybody. It's just the way, talking about the website, this is just the way it is. I mean, I'm going to do the show that I want to do. And if you don't like it, don't listen. Don't bother me. But that's it.
Oh.
Okay.
Do you feel better?
I do.
Okay. Hey,
the next couple of emails, we got 20 minutes left in the show. Let's get rolling on you. You have something you want to say?
Yeah, real quick. Aaron Johnson was in the starting lineup for Calgary tonight.
Excellent.
Yeah. Gee, looks lost.
Should we do a scoreboard update?
Right now, Montreal, Atlanta. Montreal's up 1-0, 17 minutes left in the third. Calgary and...
No. See, you're making the same mistake that I made.
No, I'm not.
Last time I gave out the last time I gave out scores on the show, I gave out the wrong scores. So I don't want to give out any wrong
scores. I'm watching these games live. I'm multitasking.
Really? Because
I'm
looking at the thing. Are you sure you didn't pause it at some point? Because Montreal and Atlanta are tied 1-1 right now.
Okay, well, I got the shitty feed. Apparently the Canadian feed is no fucking good. If it's 1-1, I don't know who scored. Halak is still the man in Montreal then.
And the Calgary and Columbus are just underway. Mason against Kipasov there, and Andre Pavlich against Yaroslav Halak in the third period, tied 1-1 with 8:54 to go.
And it's actually 1-0 Calgary. They just scored.
Okay. Well, at least you got that in real time.
Yeah.
All right, a couple of people want to talk about my column from last Monday night. I don't know that I want to talk about it. But, I did get a lot of reaction to it, and most of it was quite, pretty much all of it, actually, was quite nice. Okay, this is from a regular reader and emailer, good friend of the show, Beth. In the early days of the show, she was an integral part of some of... at least one of the sound bites that we hear all this time on the show. Okay, but Beth says some stuff here. Hey, Chris, fantastic first article in The Indian this Monday. Okay, now here she says some nice things that I'm sure absolutely no one wants to hear. God.
Is one of them thanks for not turning down my phone number in the alley after walking me home?
Yeah, Beth is married. And
Well, then it should have been thanks for singing karaoke with me, then.
I wouldn't bet either. Okay. I don't know that I should answer this question. I don't care. I have to ask, it's a couple people have asked this, so I'll just answer it anyway. I have to ask, where is this hither from? And she quotes the line that I write. Okay. I actually talked to your wife about this one on Saturday night. These are my words from The Indian on Saturday night. This is great. Thanks a lot, Beth. Like staring through the eyes of an intoxicating woman to wish not you ever reach the other side. She says, just wondering, haha, is it fair to say there's a new love in your life? No. She asks, what's the inspiration? I guess it's fair to say there's an inspiration there. Is there a new luck? There is nothing to report. And she asks what the meaning of it is. I think that basically the meaning, I don't think there's any particular meaning behind it. Let's see. I don't know. I think it's just like it's like in any relationship or friendship, like if you meet someone and you're in the discovery phase of a relationship and you conjure up in your head, because it's something exciting and it's new and it's something that that makes you feel good. You dream up and you have all these ideas and ideals in your head of what it could be or what it could mean to you. And, you know, you because you're investing time and energy and emotional, you know, just emotion into it, that you know, like anybody, you hope that it's real. And, you know, that it is infinite, that it doesn't end. And the reality is that 99 times out of 100, it's not. And, you know, but, I mean, that's all that means. And that's, I mean, relating to what that, you know, because that was the one question from somebody else asked, what the hell does that have to do with Patrick Kane? What it has to do with Patrick Kane is that you see this guy out on the ice, and he's amazing. And he's 21 in 3 weeks, 3 or 4 weeks, and he's, you know, he could be the future of your franchise, but he's coming off an off season where he got himself into trouble. Scuttle is that, you know, it's not the first time that he's put himself in bad situations. And, you know, there is concern, you know, in the organization that maybe this is something that's not going to go away, and that they might have to choose and cut bait on him eventually at some point down the line. But as a fan, you watch him and you just dream of seeing him in a Hawks uniform to the day he retires, and he puts up all, you know, he matches scoring records and becomes the best American-born player and superstar in your team's building in your team's sweater. And I mean, that's what it means. You hope that those visions become real, and that's what one has to do with the other. But you know, I mean, there's your answer on that. Beth also asked, 'cause she listened to last week's show when we were talking about this on last week's show with Forklift and CT from Hockey Night, but I also talked about it a little bit in that same column. She says, would you trade Patrick Kane for Ilya Kovalchuk, and do you believe that would be a fair trade, and if not, what would be? Well, let me ask you that. Would you do Patrick Kane for Ilya Kovalchuk?
I would not do that trade. I really like Ilya Kovalchuk, and I think he's a fantastic player, great scorer, great hands, great speed. But Kane's potential is still yet untapped, and that's the intriguing part about him. Is you see what he's doing this year in his third year in the league, and he's really starting to stand out. And hopefully he can only get better. Whereas Kovalchuk, he's not that old, but you know, how many more good years is he going to have? I know he's got, what, 5, 6, 7 years on Kane. I mean, that's something I think about. But I wouldn't do that deal. I'd have to pass on that one.
Yeah, I don't do it either, just because, I mean, what does it bring you? I mean, more so because of the presence of Marian Hossa. Like, everything that Kovalchuk brings you, I mean, Hossa can do, and I mean, certain things, Kovalchuk is, I think, is more explosive, just slightly, than Hossa. But Hossa's a more well-rounded player. But Hossa brings you pretty much everything that Kovalchuk would bring you. Kane is a setup guy. Kane is going to get the puck to people out on the ice. He's going to make players better. Whereas Kovalchuk, to get, you know, optimum Ilya Kovalchuk experience, you need someone to be able to get him the puck. And that's the biggest problem that the Blackhawks have right now, is they're somewhat suspect down the middle as far as guys they're going to get the puck to their wingers. And since you have Patrick Kane, it doesn't hurt quite as much, because you've got already one of the best passers in the league. And he's only 20, and yeah, he's on the right wing, but he's still out there, and everybody on the team wants to play with him because they know that they're going to get the puck, and they're going to get the puck in great positions as long as they can get to him. And that's the other thing. I don't see where that trade makes any sense. I mean, if you're talking Kane for Ovechkin, then yeah, I'd listen to that one. But,
oh, in a heartbeat.
Yeah, I mean, I just don't know. I mean, if this, with the team that you have assembled right now, I mean, this doesn't make any sense to trade him. To anybody. I mean, unless you're talking about Malkin or Crosby, you know, unless you're talking about elite center. It just doesn't make any sense. It really doesn't. I don't know. I mean, if you're talking about, I mean, you know, you're talking about maybe doing a package deal to someone like the Rangers for Lundqvist and Mark Stahl, or you know, I mean, do, you know, or do, going to Vancouver for Luongo and somebody. I mean, once you start talking about those things are more interesting. But when you're talking about straight up one for one, I mean, there's not too many guys in the league that it makes any sense. And you know, it's probably limited to Jeff Carter, Evgeny Malkin, and Sidney Crosby. I think those are the guys that it's pretty much limited to.
I would. The only thing I would request is if they did do it, Ovechkin for Kane, that Ovechkin wears number 27. He is Roenick on speed.
We are inside a month now officially from Jeremy Roenick night at the United Center. I'm sure you're really excited.
Oh, I'm very excited. And other members of my family are helping me control my excitement.
Okay. All right. This one is from Marty. Marty also asking me about something that I talked about in the Committed Indian last Monday night. He quotes it quotes the passage that he would like to disagree with and debate with us on. And this is what I said in talking about Patrick Kane and how good he is already and relating him to Wayne Gretzky's skills at this age. I wrote this: "You're crazy if you think Gretzky could put up 200 points in today's game." And then Marty goes on to write, "You're telling me the most gifted passer, offensive player in the history of the game wouldn't reach his 217-point total with more power plays and 4-on-4 overtime? That alone would do it," he says. "But he did it in a time of heavy stick work, clutching, and hog ties?" The NHL in the early 80s was an extension of the 70s ugly physical hockey. Today's game would be perfect for the skating finesse oil teams of the 80s. For example, it's amazing that the Hawks took those guys to 7 games in the 85 playoffs. It was amazing. I mean, I remember those games. I was there. But if the new rules were applied, it would have been over in 4. I don't agree with that. I think you're misrepresenting what hockey was in 1985 and sort of parlaying it or just cramming it into the early 90s. I mean, it's a totally different game. And Gretzky would have had twice the points, albeit playoff points. I agree with you that the competition is better and the goaltending, but what spawned that era of better talent, better skaters, and better hockey, probably a host of things, but none more than the new rules. Granted, those are in the last 5 years, but Gretz retiring in 99, that woke the league up. Well, all right, Marty, that's what I the first thing we'll talk about. Gretzky retiring 99 retired the league up in 2005? No. Gretzky retired in 99 and clutching and grabbing and holding and hog-tying, that continued until 2004. You know, and then you got the new rules a year later when the league came back. I mean, him retiring, one had nothing to do with the other. Wayne Gretzky was done when he retired, and it's sad to say, but he retired when he needed to retire, and it really didn't affect the league whatsoever, other than the fact that, you know, he went out and, you know, as luck would have it, it was memorable and it was a nice moment, but it was also anticlimactic because he went out. I mean, the Rangers didn't make the playoffs, you know, so it was like it was his last game and it was on the eve of the playoffs, and then he was there and he was gone, and then you had the whole playoffs, and then by the next season rolled around, it was like, okay, you know, no more Gretzky, and everybody was fine, you know, not fine with it, but it was time. It was his era was over, and, you know, for it to take 5 years for these new – I mean, that's not waking anybody up, but anyway – the post-lockout rewarded that play and generated better competition and style of play that Gretzky and his Edmonton teams introduced to the league after watching the Soviets dominate for 30 years, eerily similar. Well, first of all, my point in Gretzky not – see, let me say this. I am not saying that Gretzky wouldn't be the best player, you know, take him out of that era, put him in this era in his prime. I'm not saying that he wouldn't be the best player. I think he would. Best offensive player, I definitely think he would. And the Edmonton teams, yes, those Edmonton teams in this era would still be very, very good teams. I think, you know, and then there's also the element that each generation will scorn the one that came before it. You know, this generation of players, the ones that come after it, will be better. And the hockey, if managed correctly and officiated and the rules are changed accordingly over the course of time, eventually we get a bigger size ice surface. Because that, I mean, that's an eventuality that can't be overlooked. I mean, you could probably say it's almost overdue now. But, I mean, each generation will scorn the group that came before. It's just evolution. I mean, the players that played in the 80s, if you go back and watch those games, get yourself in front of the NHL Network, one of those games on, that's awful hockey compared to what's going on out there right now. It's awful hockey. I mean, there's great players and there's individual great things, but it's a ton slower. It's just and I'm not saying, I mean, if those players you've dropped those players into this era, would they? I mean, most of them would. I mean, if they had the knowledge that these players had, if they had the equipment, the fitness training regimens and trainers and all of the knowledge of learning all of the mistakes that the generations made before them, they probably would be, the same to near the same as this group is now. But the fact is that this group is so much more advanced. Everybody is so much quicker. Everybody, the coaching is different. You have no room to move out there. There's no time to hold that puck and think. It's got to be all instinctive. And yes, Gretzky would have still been very good. But you know what the main thing that is different about Gretzky's era and this era? Stars aren't protected. Gretzky would have got hit, and guys would have hit Gretzky to hurt Gretzky. And in that era, it never happened. The biggest difference in Wayne Gretzky playing in that era and playing this era, the instigator rule. Wayne Gretzky would have never stayed healthy enough, And I mean, even besides that, I don't think that Wayne Gretzky could have been a much better of a skater than he was, in that era compared to this era. He was a good skater, but he was never a great skater. And I just when you're talking about putting things like salary cap into play, because you're not even considering that when you throw salary cap into the equation. I mean, how long would the Edmonton team stay together? Not very long. You know, you'd be getting guys like Peter Klima getting $6-7 million contracts, to walk away from Edmonton. And Charlie Huddy would have, guys that were really good in that system, and played great alongside other great players would have walked to star elsewhere where they wouldn't have been nearly as good, and then the next crew would have come in and it would have been a challenge every year for Edmonton to remain good. And you're not even taking that into consideration. I think if you look at the players like now that you know are the elite players, the Malkins, the Ovechkins, the Crosbys, the Dotsuits, I mean, you mean to tell me Gretzky in his prime still would be the best player in today's game. And I slept with a Wayne Gretzky doll as a kid. I didn't ever went to bed without my Wayne Gretzky doll laying next to me. I mean, that's how big of a Wayne Gretzky fan I was when I was 5 years old. You know, I'm not bad-mouthing Wayne Gretzky. He's my favorite player ever. I'm just saying that if you watch today's game and you watch the game that was going on in the 80s, they're two completely different games. And you can't say that just, there's 4-on-4, and the players are so much quicker. They're so much stronger. They get right on top of you. There's no room to move. And people hit to hurt, and guys go out there and send messages, and nobody's immune. Ovechkin gets hurt. Crosby gets hit. Malkin gets run at. All these guys. Wayne Gretzky was protected, and I'm not saying that was a good or a bad thing. I'm just telling you the way it was, and you can't compare the two. If nobody was allowed to touch Alex Ovechkin, how many goals do you think Alex Ovechkin would get? He'd have 80. But he doesn't get 80 or 90 goals because, I mean, he has to deal with an era where, I mean, if somebody hits him, a guy can't jump up off the bench and go and run and hog tie that guy and pummel him in the corner and beat him until he can't, you know, he can't ever come back on the ice that night. I mean, it's just a different era. And if those rules applied now, I mean, there'd be a lot of guys that would be in the 150s because there's that much talent out there, but those rules don't apply. The defensive systems are better. The coaching is way better. The goaltending is three or four times as good as it was back then. And all that has to do with coaching and the way, you know, the styles of, you know, the butterfly style was the first to come in and just change the way the goaltending was. And I just don't think you can compare the two. And I think it's, you know, I know that it's hard to give up on the era that you grew up with and every sport and everybody always tries to defend the era that they grew up with and they romanticize about. But I just don't buy it. I don't buy that there's a player out there right now that could put up 200 points. It just can't happen.
Absolutely.
And that's a good way to end the show. I gotta get running here so I don't keep Sam up till 3 a.m. But we will be back next week. It's possible that I can do a show this weekend. I have to do a lot of catching up this weekend, and I will probably stay in, not go out and walk girls home and then refuse their phone number.
yeah, right.
Well, we'll see how it goes, though. We'll be back next Tuesday night. That would be October 27th. And also, I do want to mention, apparently, this coming Sunday, HockeyNight.com will be taping their 50th Puckcast ever. Now, I don't know that it's really their 50th because I don't know that I can trust Forklifts to add. But, I mean, they say it's their 50th, so I guess it's their 50th. And apparently they're going to be having the guys from the Fifth Feather on, and they're going to be taping on Sunday night because the Blackhawks play at home against the Minnesota Wild. Marty Havlett should return on Monday, before Monday, but he should definitely be in the lineup on Monday coming back from his groin. The brand-new Minnesota Wild captain, Mikko Koivu, will be in town, and that should be a good one as well. Of course, the Nashville Predators. So I guess we can expect Antti Niemi tomorrow night and then Cristobal Huue on Saturday if Joe Quenneville still is coaching. Nashville Predators in town on Saturday, Minnesota Wild on Monday. We'll be back talking to you next Tuesday night on blogtalkradio.com/thethirdmanin at 8 p.m. And I don't know. We'll be talking about something. Probably insulting some people and telling a bunch of yuck stories.
Yeah, Chelios on the Wolves, too.
Yes, Chelios on the Wolves. And, yes, he plays Friday night. And I think I'm going to be out there. So maybe I'll be able to give you a firsthand account. But until then, thanks, everybody, for listening. And we'll talk to you next Tuesday night, October 27th at 8 o'clock. Thanks a lot, everybody, and good night.
Just think.
I'll be the guy that when he bends over, you see his hockey night whale ass. And if he's got to rub a guy out, he'll rub a guy out.
What's going to happen is that you jerk off the ball. I almost want to let this guy here jam you, and if it comes, it comes.
That's awesome.